Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. I think I'm ruining my wife. Yeah, I think I'm that's almost impossible to do, to ruin my sweet little wife, Michelle, but I think I'm ruining my wife, because she went out yesterday with one of her friends, and she called me and said, oh, honey, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. Oh, they don't get it, do they? Red pill, blue pill, green pill, whatever pill. There's just so many things that we just kind of take at face value, you know? I think maybe that's how we... Think about your experience. If you were raised in the church, I was raised in the church. I was raised I was raised Catholic. I think I've told this story. My mother was a Protestant, whatever that means. She was actually a mutt. Mom went from church, Christian church. She was a church hopper. My dad was a Catholic, but not a cradle Catholic. My dad's father was a Lutheran, converted to Catholicism when he married my grandmother. So we were raised Catholic, but it wasn't a deep Catholicism. And so the dad took us to the Mass and the catechism, did the whole thing the guy's supposed to do, and was very, very faithful with it. But I didn't know anything about Christianity. I didn't even really know anything about Catholicism. I didn't know anything. And I was raised in it, and I was a moral guy. And how could you spend 18 years of your life in catechism, which I did, church? I was rare. I was a straight shooter. I never had a beer, ever. Had a beer. I went to college. My friends were drinking. I never did any of that stuff. I was a pretty moral guy, really. Don't know why, but I was. How could you be 18 years in church and not really hear the gospel? Or better yet, how could you spend 18 years in church and never be able to explain the gospel? How could you be 18 years in any type of church anywhere and not understand salvation? And I remember when Michelle and I got, when we were married, in the Catholic Church, but we were not practicing Catholics really at that point. And when we got married in the Catholic Church, first couple years of our life, we didn't go to church at all. And then Michelle got pregnant. And all of a sudden you change a little bit in the way you think. Thought, you know, we probably ought to get some kind of spiritual foundation here. And we went to a Lutheran church that our mom, the church hopper, that my mom recommended us to, because she liked the pastor. And I went to that church, and with Michelle and I, we were, you know, I was 28, 29 years old probably at that point. Had been to church really for all my 20s for the most part. And back to this church, and I was in that church for, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, and never heard the gospel that I know of. Never heard it. And I heard the gospel in World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio in 1987. And I ran to the altar. I'm telling you, I had been in church on and off for 35 years, and I had never heard the gospel. I never understood it. I never got it. I can explain to y'all that Jesus died for our sins. I understood that. Easter, and raising from the dead, and Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and Mary, and the rosary. So I get saved, and then all of a sudden they're talking to me about rapture. Oh, we'll be out of here. What? What are you talking about? Huh? It's only been over the last 10 or 15 years of my life that I've really begun to. I want you to think about this. If you commit to something, don't you really try to study it? Roger's an attorney. I hope he studied law. I hope he knows the ins and outs of law. I don't want to hire him if he doesn't. And how can we call ourselves Christians and not know the ins and outs of our faith and understand our faith and explain our faith, not be able to answer every question? And by the way, if you're a Christian, let's say there is no church like we have it today, and this you pick up this thing here, it's called the Bible, and you're studying from the Bible, and you come to a question, what expert do you go see to tell you what that says? And if you go to that expert and he tells you what it says, where did he learn what it says? And so we think back we could put ourselves back in the time of Martin Luther, understand that the Bible really wasn't printed. People couldn't read it for themselves. You can understand some of the confusion and the handing down of traditions, but we live in a world today where the Bible's printed. You have it on your, I get it on my cell phone. We have it on our cell phone, and still people have no intellectual curiosity about their faith. Pretty amazing, really, to think about it. One of the things that's happened in my heart, and I thank God for it, is I have deep, deep intellectual curiosity about my faith now. For the first time in the last 10 years, I've begun to ask myself, why? Who says? I think it was a really, really important question. And for the most part, most of us trained in any type of religious environment aren't allowed to ask those questions. Why and who says? We're not really allowed to. They say, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that would be good if, in fact, that's what the Bible says. And there's a lot of things that the Bible says. I wrote my commentary yesterday, which came out today. I wrote in the commentary yesterday that, why do you agree with everything your pastor says, and most people don't even agree with what Jesus said. People have trouble with what Jesus said. But yeah, we take at face value what our pastor said. So, Coach, what are you talking about? Well, because I think these things are critically important. And we have denominations set up because certain people have taught us certain things, and we get trapped in it. I'm going to double back to that. Let me do a real quick commercial. Joe got these CDs. Like to get out and get in your hands. Send us any donation. These are really good, seasoned with salt and let the sparks fly. Really, really good. This is a CDs. I think it's CDs. CD set. It's Time to Wake Up. You Serve the God You See. Faith Without Works is Dead. And Are You Converted? And you can copy these. And this is really good stuff, Dunya. It's really good stuff. Hats and shirts. And, of course, we have our Occupy 2018 DVDs. I believe we'll be done this weekend. We had a glitch. It should have been done last weekend. We had a glitch, but we believe they'll be done this week. So we'll be getting those out to you. And we're printing a few extras of those. So you can, request one of those too. Those, just so you know, we're selling those for $35. So if all you have is $5 and you want one, we'll send you one. But if you could at least cover the cost for us, we sure would appreciate that. Golly, lot going on. Lot I want to talk about. Don't forget. All hands on deck, June 14, 15, and 16. It might bleed into Sunday. And we say the 14th, that's Thursday night. Yeah, there's really nothing going on Thursday night. We begin on Friday. We're going to go to the mosque on Friday at noon because that's when their call to prayer is. So we want to be out there on Friday, which means some of you maybe need to get here on Thursday night. If you can't get in on Thursday night, that's okay. It really doesn't matter. Early on Friday morning. All that information is at our website. I'd love to have hundreds. Literally hundreds. I believe that we'll get a lot of attention. Not that I want attention, but it will matter. I think we'll catch media attention if they see a big number of us together. And so whatever that number would be, it's going to be more than 10 or 12 of us. I promise you that. We'd love for you to come and be part of it. Remember, for $30, we're going to give you four meals. And you can, we'll find a place for you to bring a sleeping bag. We'll find a place for you to crash on a sleeping bag. You can pitch a tent. You can do whatever, make it as inexpensive as you want to. And I thank some of you who out there already who've sent us donations, said, listen, I can't come, but I'd like to pay for somebody else. Appreciate that. Chad, come on in here a second. How you doing this morning?
Outstanding. It's good to be alive.
It is, brother. It is. You know, Chad, hang on, because people say it beats the alternative, beats the alternative. I'm not really sure. The Bible says it's better to be dead than alive. Ecclesiastes 7. Ponder that one a while. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it also says that at some point the living will envy the dead. So, So again, I wanted to just kind of touch up again, those of you that, you know, you may be able to, not attend the annual event, but if you could sponsor somebody for $30 or whatever, maybe a little bit of gas or something like that, you can send those, contributions in on, the Coach Dave site, just on the comment section. If you'll add in there for annual, event donation, put that down there. So we'll know where that money is going to go specifically for, transportation and the registration coverage on that. We thank you. Second thing is I want to plug our Salt Light Brigade in Greater Texas Salt Light Brigade, where we've branched out to Dallas. And, well, I have Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, Shreveport,
God bless you,
and all
man.
That. Dallas and Houston, they're having that. Now, I just say Dallas, I'm just talking about the whole entire Metroplex for both locations. But they're having their monthly on Saturday about 1 p.m. So if you're interested in that, if you're in those areas and you want to go, you know, drive an hour or so to go down there. It's not the whole weekend. So if you'll email me, I'll get you contact with those leads in those areas at texas@saltandlightbrigade.org.
Plug in, man.
And also
plug in.
Also, yeah, I just encourage you in other places. I mean, we've had everybody invited friends over and had a barbecue before. We've done that. And the only thing, the difference is you just add some Bible into it. That's what we're doing. I mean, that's it right there. So
show video. If you're not confident with it, show video. Show a 5-minute video. It'll be a good conversation starter. And we have to understand, Chad, and I know you get this. We're all different places spiritually. We're all different places. We all have deeper revelations. Some have great, great deep revelations in some areas that others don't have. And the fact that you don't know something, that's not something to be ashamed of. How do you learn? I'd be like saying to somebody, well, I'm not going to go to college because I don't know anything. Well, that's where you go, because you don't know anything. Well, that's a bad example, because you come out of college, you probably won't know anything anyway. But you get the point. If you're hungry, go munch a little bit. Go find something. And so that's what we're encouraging. So there's one going on down in Todd's doing one in Houston, and Glenn's doing one in Dallas this weekend. That's unbelievable. Todd or Glenn, anybody want to jump in here? I don't know if you guys are in the queue or not. We're up to 31 in here today. We got room for a few more people. And I don't always know who's in here. So Todd's not in it. But I know they're doing it. Okay. Get a hold of Chad, Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Excuse me. He'll direct you the right way. Cool. Thanks, Chad. Anybody else got anything good for the good of the group? It's 13 minutes into the show already. Come on in here.
Hey,
let's,
Coach.
Let's clean some things up. Yep.
Could I plug? I've got Kent Hovind coming to Joplin, Missouri.
No, you can't plug it. No, you can't plug it. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I got Dr. Kent Hovind, Dr. Dino, coming to Joplin, Missouri, coming to the Good Faith and New Hope Church this Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, man.
I tell you, if you've never got to hear Dr. Hovind talk, he is mesmerizing. And the only reason I know about him is because when you interviewed him right after he got out of jail and you were active in helping him get out of jail, it just put it on my heart, because me and him got similar stories about how the government has kind of persecuted us. And I didn't go to jail. He did. And,
you mean they bullied you? They bullied you?
just a little bit. But you know what? I found out they can't eat me. And
we're supposed to be against bullying. Government bullying is okay, though. Is that what you're telling me?
I did get to find out they are the government mafia. So anyway, Kent Hovind. I'm gonna put Kent Hovind to work at 9 a.m. Saturday morning at the Faith and New Hope Church. Which is there? 20314 Guardian Road, Joplin, Missouri. If you want to find out more information about that, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look up the Faith and New Hope Church on Facebook, or you can give me a call at 417-850-4736. He's going to do 5 seminars Saturday, and we're going to do 2 Sunday before putting him back on a plane and sending him to Tulsa.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Say hi to him for me. You know, we're why he's not in jail. He knows that story. We're the Salt and Light Brigade. Lord working through us. Rod.
Give us a little bit more of Michelle's experience today, if you can. I always like to hear what.
Oh, I don't know if she'd come down there because she's not all purdied up this morning. But it's the same thing, Roger. And, you know, the got to be careful what I say here. Because I don't want to sound like I'm criticizing her friends. That wouldn't be very nice to do, because if her friends were listening, they would know, well, she's talking about me. But in the last few days, she went out and did a luncheon, did a thing with a new Christian friend, a reacquainted one. And, you know, Michelle and I live together. We sleep in the same bed. We breathe the same air. And so what I'm saying is, Michelle is red-pilled. Her eyes are open. And so when she gets with her friends and she begins to talk about, like, going to the abortion clinics and how our schools are, what they're teaching our kids, and, you know, just gets into this, just into the shallows, just dips her fingers and her toes a little bit into the water. Man, oh man. Michelle, I'm going to call you. I'm going to let you talk, because Roger, they don't get it. They don't get it, Roger. They don't get it. Call mom. Call mom. There we go. Roger, they don't get it. I'm going to let her explain it better as only she can. They don't get it. Christians don't get it. We don't get it. Want good God-fearing people who really love Jesus. Don't get it. And it comes back to what I was saying. Are you there?
Hello.
Roger, I want to know a little bit more about what you said. Right? So protect the innocent and give your experience yesterday.
Hold on. I got all kinds of noise going on.
She's listening, so she's got me in the background here.
And my microwave and...
And the dog's barking and everything else upstairs. She's not down in this million-dollar studio with me down here. Those of you who've seen my studio know what I'm talking about. So come on there. They're waiting on you.
I don't know what to say. I was talking to my friend who's been a Christian for... a very long time, had, you know, a marriage was saved miraculously, and kids all went to Christian school, I just started talking about, like I said, what the minister was doing, going to malls, help the homo parade, abortion clinics, and she just shut up, didn't say anything, and we started talking about church, and she said, everybody has to go to church. You have to be held accountable, and you can't really home fellowship unless you're held accountable, and just went on and on all this stuff that Roger's talked about. And I just sat there. I didn't know what to say. It just grieved my...
Because they love Jesus. They love Jesus, but they ain't got any idea.
Right.
What is
right, I just said to Roger, Father Roger, and I said, he opens his mouth, he will get a resistance just like that. Just like that, she goes to your church, and it was all about church and being held accountable by some man.
Roger, she goes to a church that you're somewhat familiar with, that you visit about once a week. She goes to a church, and so what you've been saying is that people in it don't get it, is they don't get it. We get churchianity, but we don't really get it. All right, sweetheart. Love you. Thanks. So there you are, Roger. I don't know how, I don't know if that was an enlightening to anybody else or not, but that's really where we are with it, man. We really are. And so all of you are watching this show today. The reason you watch this show is because you do understand something's wrong. You don't know what it is. None of us know what it is. And how many of you have heard from your own pastor, probably, but quit listening to that guy. He's just so in discord. Quit listening to that guy. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Coach. Okay, 30 years saved. Been a pastor now for 15 years, senior pastor. Brother, yesterday's message on charity. Brother, let me tell you what, you can't pour new wine into old wineskin. And that's the problem with what had transpired with your wife, is that these people get set in this religious way that they cannot receive this new revelation. Brother, that was such an incredible revelation. I shared that last night during prayer. And I said, brother, that was my eyes being adjusted once again to the enlightenment of Scripture.
And brother, and that's good. The problem. It's not to be feared. It's liberty. No. It's freedom.
I used the analogy. I said, I go in and get my eyes checked every 2 years. And I said, I go in, I can see because I got my glasses on. But when I come out with my new glasses and they've tweaked that little bit, just that little bit, I said, I see clearer. I said, not that I couldn't see, but now I see clear. And for the fear of these people of afraid of embracing something of truth, brother, that just blows me away. Once again, I say you cannot pour new wine, new revelation into old wineskin, which is religiosity.
A tradition, religiosity. That's right, Dale. That's
hey,
right.
Coach,
I credit Sammy again for giving that to me. It was very enlightening to me as well. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, I agree. And I underscore what Dale said. You know, part of the problem is that we're so distracted. You know, by TV, and so Christianity has kind of blended into the world. You know, since Karina and I stopped subscribing and watching TV, we have spent most of our time, you know, reading God's word, you know, going on the queue every morning. To me, it's my morning devotion.
Amen.
So your eyes do get adjusted, like Dale said, because now you start to focus in on God's kingdom and His will for your life,
and then you ask yourself,
Scripture.
What else have I missed? Right? What else have I missed here?
Yeah.
What else am I believing that's not true?
But like Dale said, most of the Christian world, they've got one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and so everything is tainted. And so it's, you know, their eyes haven't been open.
One foot in the church, one foot in the world, and no feet in Christ. That's really the problem. We have this mixture of religion and worldliness, and the two are blending together. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We don't even know what that means. And you go throughout the scriptures are full of persecution of those who are standing up for truth. The scriptures are full of it. And yet we live in a culture and a society where that's anathema. Oh, persecution? Are you kidding me? Now, somebody asked me yesterday in an email, what's the difference between the wrath of God and the judgment of God? I thought, well, I thought about that a minute. Well, that's a good question. Wrath of God. Well, the wrath of God brings the judgment of God, I think. And the wrath of God is certainly something we want to avoid, but I got so much, I guess. I feel like I'm, how do I say it? I feel like I'm doing new construction, but first of all, I have to tear some walls down. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm trying to remodel, but before I can remodel, I got to knock this board out, and I got to knock this wall out, and I got to knock this wall out. And so the danger that I run is I don't want, it is so easy. We are so religious that when somebody questions what we believe, we get offended. We get offended. And you know, if I'm building a house and I'm building it wrong, the foundation isn't good. I've got an old handyman named Dean. Dean can fix anything. And Dean's one of those guys, he comes and he looks, and I'm trying to repair something. I was working on my mower the other day, trying to get my mower running. Old Dean comes, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and looks at him and says, hey, Dave, it might be better if you do this. And I would have never seen it. I could have got mad and said, who are you to tell me? I've been working on this lawnmower for weeks. Who are you to tell me that? And, well, I'm just trying to make it easier for you if you do this. But when it comes to religion, we don't, oh, no, no, we've always done it this way. That's the way this mower's always run. Well, now they have zero turns. Want a zero turn? Want to mow grass, maybe in a way you've never mowed grass before? It still cuts the grass. It's still the same thing, but it's a little bit different than maybe what you used to. And we don't want to go there. But I do. And I sense a lot of you guys do too. And I say over and over and over and over again, I don't know the truth. I'm searching for it. I'm searching for it. And when you begin to question people in their theology, that's how you end up with denomination. Foolish and unlearned questions do avoid for they do engender strife. But they're not foolish and unlearned. We got to ask.
Hey, Coach, you know what? One thing that I see a parallel here is in Revelation, or is it for the Laodicean church, where Christ is admonishing the church. And he calls them, you know, you're neither hot nor you're cold, but you're lukewarm. And because it's distasteful to him that he spits them out of his mouth. He would rather us be hot for him and seek the truth than what we see today in the church. And it's, to me, it's Laodicea.
Can I give you a greater revelation on that, Todd? Boy, this really hit me too. This is one that kind of came out of nowhere to me. The scripture says in the book of Revelation, Todd's just quoting there, that God wishes that you were hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of your mouth. And we got thinking about that. Cold being whatever, hot being whatever. You know that the reason nobody likes lukewarm anything, there's sometimes you want a hot drink. When you're cold, you want hot chocolate. You want a hot cup of coffee. You want But when it's cold or when it's hot, you probably don't want hot chocolate. You probably want something cold. So hot and cold are not necessarily conditions, although they are conditions. It's the Lord saying, I wish that you had some flavor, some temperature to you. So what I knew when I wanted to drink out of this. When there could be nourishment, and there could be nourishment in cold. There could be nourishment in hot. But if you're in the middle, I don't know which one to pick up. I don't know, is this going to be lukewarm? I don't want lukewarm. I want something hot or I want something cold. I don't want something without any bang to it. There's a different perspective on me when I thought about that. Because even the cold can be made hot. Even the cold can. But I think you're right, Chad, Todd. I think it is the Laodicean church. Let me jump ahead here. Tomorrow, Andrew Draper. Huh? Yep. International guest tomorrow. Andrew Draper, Red Pill. Jared, pull that up on the screen. The Red Pill Report. He has a show. Andrew Draper has a small Hagman and Hagman show in the UK. I stop right there, man. How many of you could tell me the difference between the UK, Britain, England? Can anybody explain that mess to me? Anyway, Andrew has a show called The Red Pill Report. Does Jared, you have it up there for me, man? And he's one of us. And he had me on his show the other day. That's how I came across him. And then what's going on in the UK and Europe? And you think we're in a mess. He starts telling me some of the stuff that's going on in the UK. And so after I was on the air with him for 40 minutes, I said, Andrew, you got to come on my show. Hey, Mark out there. Mark Sutherland, I'm going to get you on too, man. Hey, I lost your contact info. Email it to me, and I'll get you on too. So tomorrow, Andrew Draper you're going to like him. He's a spicy guy. He's a salty guy. And talking about what's going on in the UK. Because, see, again, so many of us, we see Christianity as American, and it's clearly far beyond that. Okay, so he's going to join us tomorrow. It's 7:29 already. Are you kidding me? All right. Well, Lord, let's do this. Let's help us out here, Lord. I would recommend to everybody, if you haven't, watch Rick Wiles True News yesterday. His show is 2 hours long, but he did a 30 minute segment on the blasphemy of the worship of Israel and Jerusalem. I can't get away from this because this is theological and it's very important that we get this right. I wrote on it today, in fact, at newswithhughes.com. And the title of what I wrote was, I'm not going to read it, is Work While the Sun Shines. Listen to me. I couldn't care less what's going on in Jerusalem. It has no bearing on me right here, right now. None at all. Couldn't care less. I couldn't care less what's going on in Israel. I could not care less. Can I tell you why? Because I got work to do right here in Buckeye Lake, Ohio. I got plenty of work to do. You know what? I really, Donald Trump, God bless Donald Trump, he don't have any impact in my life. My life hadn't changed not one iota in the year he's been president. It's been a year, year and a half. Yeah, my life hadn't changed at all. Yeah, we look at our lives, we look at the media, and it's constantly pointing to Donald Trump, or it's constantly pointing to Israel, always constantly pointing to something else I have no control over. And Donald Trump and Jerusalem has not impacted my life, not in one iota, in the way I live my life. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, why won't we work while the sun shines? Scripture says that too, by the way. For a day cometh when you're not going to be able to work. What does that mean to work? It means to do the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus right where you are, right in front of you. Get the work done right where you are. Yeah.
Just something I've said before. We're caught. We're literally caught in the World Wide Web. We're stuck in the World Wide Web. You have to, just like what Glenn said, you have got to turn off your screens. You have got to look people in the eye. You have got to do it. You have to do it. You have to turn it off. You have to. It is a World Wide Web, and it is killing you.
Jared, I agree, man. It's like when I was sitting out in front of McDonald's the other day, I'm talking about Jerusalem. Those people don't care about Jerusalem. They're going up and down the road. They're worried about their own lives and their families and surviving. And they have no thought at all, not only about eternal life and where they're going to go when they die. They don't even think about that. They don't think about life and peace and joy and love. They don't think about that now. And we're focusing on Jerusalem. All of Christian America is focusing on Jerusalem. And there's ministry work to be done right where we live, and we ain't getting it done. Anybody disagree with me on it? We're so distracted. We're so distracted. Hey, what if they started building a temple in Jerusalem right now? So what does that have to do with Hebron, Ohio?
Hey, Coach. It
had nothing to do with it. Yeah, Mark.
So I posted something there, and I believe it fully. I've learned it, and I've lived it since. And that is, if you're in the pattern, you're not noticed. Okay, if you're outside the pattern, if you got an agenda, you got a direction, you're not on the phone all the time. You're not in the pattern. So these are the people who are having trouble. If you're a business that's not in the pattern, you're going to get trouble. If you're a preacher that's not in the pattern, you're going to have trouble. So they want us in a pattern. Now, if you think about this, who's defining what the pattern is? You know, who defines the pattern? It's the people watching. It's the people outside the data looking in the pattern and seeing who's not fitting their agenda.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That's right.
So this ripples down into every facet of our life. Where do we spend our time? Whenever I travel, I turn my phone off. And whenever I land and turn it on, I get a call with nobody answering. It's because I've dropped out of the pattern for a short period of time. And they know
they got to find you, huh? They got to know where you are.
On and on beyond this, there's cases of this being proven. People have done cases of it. They're automated calls by artificial intelligence to put us back on the grid.
Wow.
It's that simple. So if you're driving down the road, and you're not in the pattern, you're either speeding or going too slow. These are the things that cops are trained to watch for. Chad will tell you about what he watches for. You know, so if you look at your life and your religion and what you're doing, Coach, you're not in the pattern. None of us are. We're all
swimming upstream.
We don't watch TV. We're not getting programmed. We're outside the pattern. We're loose ends. We're loose ends to be tied up. Okay, and if you think about original Christians, they were outside the Roman pattern. And then they had to collect them, and they had to identify them. They had to mark them. You know, anytime that people wants us or another group of people in a pattern, they identify them. Okay? So soon there'll be people with marks and without marks, and we won't be in the pattern. You see where it's going?
I do, but I see it very, very clearly. And so what's going on is, I'm going in the exit. And they say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to come in this way. or I'm driving in the I'm driving out on the in lane, or I'm in the east, I'm going east in the west lane, and it's distracting, and it causes confusion, and it makes other people put on their brakes, and they are mad, and they don't like it, and they say, "Coach, turn the car around and go the other way. You're supposed to be going the other way in that lane."
That's right. You're supposed to be. Who's determining you're supposed to be? Right? Mm-hmm. It's not Jesus. It's other people who wants to squeeze us into a pattern. Here's another term for pattern: matrix. Okay. And I'll just drop it there, because if you look at the world, that's what they need, right?
Amen. 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 Okay. I got two things. I promised myself I'm going to do this. Listen, tomorrow, Lord willing, I'm going to get beyond the Jerusalem and Israel thing for a while. I'm sorry if some of you are getting sick of it, but I just got it. There's some amazing things that are going on. I said to my wife this morning, who I love above all, and I love that little woman, "So what's the new covenant?" I said that to her. "What's the new covenant?" And she hemmed and hawed. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So some of you are getting nervous right now, because you're thinking, maybe I'm going to ask you, what's the new covenant? And the truth is, we really don't know. And if there is a new covenant, somebody help me. Roger's a lawyer. Roger, if there's an old signed deal, and then there is a new signed deal, which one is in effect? Attorney Weaver, are you listening today? Maybe you're not. Well, I'll answer it for him.
Oh, I'm listening.
Well, which one's in effect, Roger? If somebody comes with you and they have a will signed 40 years ago, an old covenant, and then somebody shows up with a will, a new will signed by the same guy, and it happened yesterday, which one's in effect?
I think the new one.
You think? depends on which judge and which lawyer you get in front of, and who can lie the best, right? But it would be the new covenant, right? So
the new one.
Now, we know that the Lord made an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people, the Israelite, Israel, the Hebrews, an everlasting covenant. Well, then what's the new covenant? I heard John Hagee say yesterday, if you watch Rick Wiles, John Hagee said that the Jews have a covenant and we don't. John Hagee said that the Jews have an everlasting covenant and that the Gentiles have no such covenant. We don't have an everlasting covenant. Well, so that spurred me. What's the new covenant? What's the new covenant? Hey, Jared, Webster's 1828. Maybe we got to start and look up a covenant. Hey, guys, because if I get to heaven by being a Jew, I'm going to convert. Because you can't you? Can't you convert to Judaism? I think you can. Sammy Davis Jr. did. So if the way to heaven is in that old covenant, I'm going to be part of that. Roger, I'm going to get my name on that will. If that's it. And we're finding Christians today, American Christians today, who are denying the new covenant and believing that the old covenant is the one that's in effect. Do you guys think am I seeing this wrong? I don't think I am. Jared, do you have covenant up there, Webster's? Yeah, I think you do. What's it say? Covenant, a mutual consent or agreement of two or more persons to do or to forbear some act or thing. A contract, a stipulation. A covenant is created by deed in writing, sealed and executed, or may be implied in the contract. A writing contained the terms of agreement or contract before parties, or the clause of the agreement and the deed containing the covenant. In theology, the covenant is a covenant of works. Is that it implies in the commands, prohibitions, and promises of God, the promise of God to man, that man's perfect obedience should entitle him to happiness. This do, then live, and that, and this do and live, that do and die. The covenant of redemption is a mutual agreement between the Father and the Son respecting the redemption of sinners by God, by Christ. The covenant of grace is that by which God engages to bestow salvation on man on the condition of that man shall believe in Christ and yield obedience to the terms of the gospel. So the covenant, folks, listen, the covenant to the Jews was a covenant whereby they made it to the heaven through following the law, works. And God said, yep, that ain't working. That ain't working very well. So I'm going to strike a new deal here. I'm going to strike a new deal. I'm not old covenant. Strike a new one. And this new covenant is going to be a blood covenant. It's going to be a covenant in blood. Sealed in blood. Because the old covenant was a blood covenant too, wasn't it? Didn't they have to kill goats and boar and put blood over the doorpost a little? Wasn't it the Passover about blood and blood? Well, the new covenant, if I understand it, the new covenant is ratified by better blood. It's human blood covenant now, not goats, sheep, animals, not blood sacrifice of animals. It's a new covenant ratified by better blood. In the new covenant, in fact, the scripture says somewhere, if the new old covenant was good, there'd been no need for the new one. But now we have this new covenant, and you can't even tell me what it is. We have this new covenant, and everybody wants to go back and live by the old one. This stuff goes through my head like constantly. So I said, I thought this would be interesting to find out. Jared, new covenant. I looked up new covenant. I Googled everywhere this morning. Can anybody explain the new covenant to me right now? Anybody? Got questions, it tries. What's the new covenant?
The new covenant. Yeah, the new covenant, brother. Listen, the old covenant, which was imperfect in all of its ways, when God says he made a covenant with himself, the old blood, which was imperfect, the new covenant was perfect blood of the Son of the Lamb of God, Christ himself. Brother, let me tell you what, the covenant was made between God himself and God the Son. We are not the covenant. We get to partake in the covenant, but we can't break the covenant. We can't mess it up because the new covenant is perfect. It was written in the word and it was sealed with the blood of the Lamb. And brother, we can only engage in the new covenant by being obedient to that covenant.
And Dale, the whole purpose, I'm sorry, this is the way I view it. The entire Old Testament was designed to show us you can't keep the law. You can't do it. You cannot work your way into heaven. You cannot be perfect enough. And the idea of killing a goat and sacrificing a goat, that's old. So that don't do it. We got perfect blood now between the Father and the Son. They made a covenant. And we get to come into it. What ratified the covenant? Blood. What kind of blood? The blood of Christ. Perfect blood. The blood of Christ. Folks, Jews without blood of Christ covenant are not going to heaven. Muslims without the blood of Christ covenant are not going to heaven. Episcopalian, Methodist, Lutherans, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Eastern Baptist, Western Baptist, without the covenant of blood with Jesus Christ are not going to heaven. Point being, the Queen of England, who supposedly has this perfect blood being passed down, that's in a whole nother story I'd like to talk about with you sometime. Do you believe there's something special about Prince Harry? What's special about Prince Harry? There isn't anything more special about Prince Harry than there is some Jewish rabbi. There's nothing special. All of us have human blood. We all came from Adam. We all have the same bloodline. And the whole purpose of the Old Testament, the whole purpose of Jesus was to get what? A perfect sacrifice through the system of the Old Testament. No one could follow it. It was an imperfect covenant. And the only way you make it is God himself came in the form of a man and kept the covenant, which gave him the right then to what? To ratify the new. The perfect blood sacrifice. And then they pile religion on top of it. That's what we're dealing with. Pile religion and rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, they pile it on top of it. It's Jesus and nothing else. I don't know how many times I've said this. It's Jesus and nothing else. Michelle runs into this sweet Christian woman yesterday who's not, she's just blind. And she thinks it's Jesus and going here and doing this and going here and doing that. And it's all these other things. And Jesus and the rapture and Jesus in Jerusalem and Jesus in Israel and Jesus in, holy smokes.
You know, hey, Coach, that what happens is like with this lady, your wife's friend, they get information based on a person's sincerity and, you know, probably have these good means. But, brother, just because you're sincere doesn't make you right. You're just sincerely wrong.
Hey, you know, you can sincerely take a pill thinking it's going to make your hair grow back. You can sincerely believe it. Doesn't mean it's true. So what's the new covenant? The new covenant, or the Bible calls it the New Testament, is the promise that God makes with humanity, that he will forgive sin and restore fellowship with those whose hearts are turned toward him. Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and his death on the cross is the basis of the promise. The new covenant was predicted while the old covenant was still in effect. The prophets Moses, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all refer to a new covenant. The old covenant that God had established with his people required strict obedience to the Mosaic law. Because the wages of sin is death, the law required that Israel perform daily sacrifices in order to atone for sin. But Moses, through whom God established the old covenant, also anticipated the new covenant. In one of his final addresses to the nation of Israel, Moses looks toward a time when Israel will be given a heart to understand us. Deuteronomy 29:4. Moses predicts that Israel would fail in keeping the old covenant, but he would then see a time of restoration. And at that time, Moses said, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The new covenant involves a total change of heart. Can you scroll up, Jared? A total change of heart so that God's people are naturally pleasing to him. The prophet Jeremiah also predicted the new covenant. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. How can we not see this? But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, said the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law of Moses and to establish a new covenant between God and his people. The old covenant was written in stone, but the new covenant is written on the heart. The old covenant was religion. The new covenant is grace and peace. Entering the new covenant is made possible only by faith in Christ. Are the Jews under the new covenant? No. Not unless they receive Christ. And the truth be told, I've done some research here that would blow your mind. You know, the Christians who go to Israel, they're not allowed to proselytize. They're not allowed to try to share the gospel of Jesus to the Jew. Do you know that? Not allowed to. And so people go over there and take tours of the Holy Land. And they're not even allowed to try to get these Jews saved. I think right here. Oh my goodness. This is, where am I? Entering the new covenant is made possible only by faith in Christ. You shed his blood to take away the sins of the world. relates how Jesus at the Last Supper takes the cup and says, this is the cup, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant was originally given to Israel. Where is that? Lost that. Go on down, Jared. The new covenant was, no doubt, the new covenant mentioned Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, and I will remove from your heart of stone, remember, and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law. Ezekiel lists several aspects of the new covenant, new heart, new spirit, indwelling the Holy Spirit, true holiness. Mosaic law could provide none of these things. Look at the religious Jews still trying to make it to heaven through their following of the law. The new covenant was originally given to Israel and includes a promise of fruitfulness, blessing, and peace existence in the promised land. In Ezekiel, God says, then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the fields so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Deuteronomy contains similar promises related to Israel under the new covenant. After the resurrection of Christ, Gentiles were brought into the blessing of the new covenant too. The fulfillment of the new covenant will be seen in two places on earth, during the millennial kingdom and in heaven for all eternity. For we are no longer under the law, but under grace. Romans 6. The old covenant has served its purpose and has been replaced by a better covenant. Better. Hebrews 7:22 calls it a better covenant. In fact, the ministry Jesus has received is superior to theirs, is the covenant of which he's a mediator, is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. It says in Hebrews, better promises. Under the new covenant, we're given the opportunity to receive salvation as a free gift, not following rules and regulations and the religion of the elders. Our responsibility is to exercise faith in Christ, the one who fulfilled the law on our behalf and brought it into the law's sacrifices through his own sacrificial death. Through the life-giving Holy Spirit who lives in all believers, we share in the inheritance of Christ and enjoy a permanent, unbroken relationship with God. I'm going to shock you. Are you ready for this? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have received salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, you are God's chosen people. Mic drop. Boom. Ain't got nothing to do with your lineage bloodline. Okay, come on in.
Why would God have chosen people that don't even believe in his son?
Don't even believe in it. Not even allowed to talk about him.
Man, it makes no sense. Who deny the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. See, hey, Chad, they want to call me anti-Semitic. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm neutral Semitic. Can you be neutral Semitic? If you can be neutral Semitic, I am. I'm neutral on it. I don't care. I hope the Germans get saved. I hope the Italians get saved.
I think it's just being realist. You know, here's the fact. Lay it out there.
It's denial of the gospel. It's denial of the gospel. Folks, listen. The most holy rabbi in all of Israel is lost. If he is not part of the new covenant, he is lost. If he's depending on that old covenant, he's lost. He will not get there through his own works and following of the law. He ain't going to make it. And if you are born again of the Spirit of God, you are a partaker in the new covenant that God made with his son Jesus and said, all who will come, whosoever can now come and be part of this new covenant. But also, whosoever will not doesn't get it. That's it. And all this Israel furor and Jerusalem furor and rebuilding the temple furor and embassy furor and unbelievable that we don't get it.
Well, Dave, I think it's very simple. You know, it just flat out, it says no one gets to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said.
That's very clear. Very clear.
That's it. I am the way,
the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm going to really shock you. I get people all the time are leading tours to the Holy Land. Well, God bless you. I'll give you a free tour to the gates of hell. Come with me, I'll take you to the gates of hell. That's where Jesus took people. He didn't take them to the Holy Land. He took them to the gates of hell. And when he took them to the gates of hell, he said, I'm going to build me a church right here. We're going to storm them suckers. So you come with me. You come out here March 14th or June 14th and 15th. I'll give you a Holy Land tour. I'll take you and let you see the forces of darkness at work. I'll give you the opportunity to stand and see the clash of the two kingdoms. If you really want to do it, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go to Israel. Because maybe it's happening right here, right now. Right here, right now, it's happening.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Quit encouraging me. Quit egging me on.
Amen, Coach.
I know I'm telling you. I know I'm telling you the truth.
Burn them on. Spurn them. Prod them.
Amen.
That's what I just don't understand, and I cannot wrap myself around it. We're going into the mission field all over the world, and we're a mess here in our own backyard. I just can't wrap my mind. Who thinks that is correct?
Hey, Roger. I've got missionaries that have come back from other countries. They're back in America, and they're like, I don't understand why our visas were canceled and we're back here. And I've got others that say they don't even want their American missionaries in their country. They say, go back and fix your country. Your country's messed up. Brother, that's exactly the problem.
Uh-huh. Well, we take no ownership in it. See, we take no ownership in it. Do you guys listen to me? I can't even. Oh, am I going to get in trouble? Do you have any idea how much money we have given? Be careful. I almost said another word. How much money we have given to Israel? Do you have any idea?
Can I say another way, Craig? How much money we have wasted by giving to Israel?
No, I was going to use that word, Larry, but I wasn't going to say that. I want to keep some of the viewers, you know? You have any idea how much money we have given? Look at us. We're in debt and we're giving money over there. Why? Because we think they're God's chosen people. See, the question is, who is God's chosen people? Well, fellas, boys and girls, mwah, to me, I'm God's chosen people. And you know what? Those people over in Israel, they can be too. They can be God's chosen people, but they got to go through the door. They got to go through the gate. They have to go one way. There's only one way. You can't just talk. You can't talk to the daddy till you go through the son. The son's the gatekeeper. That's John 10, by the way. That's John 10. He's a gatekeeper. You can't get to the dad till you get through the gatekeeper. Go, George.
Coach, you're right. You and I and everyone on the queue, we're not only God's chosen people, but we also live in a covenant nation, the United States. We're a covenant nation. The state of Israel is not a covenant. It was completely embarrassing watching John Hagee and Rob Jeffers, although our church did speak in the name of Jesus, but how embarrassing they be making these claims, which are so.
Amen. Amen. I mean, George, you broke up. I don't know what that's happened to you the last couple of days. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's a spiritual kingdom. We're in a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom. Not Jerusalem. In fact, doesn't the Bible call Jerusalem the mother? I think it does. I just came off the top of my head. I'll research that one for you. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, I just wanted to say before it's over with, Sherry down in Las Vegas, thank you so much for your hospitality. You saved me a lot of money because if I'd have spent those 7 or 8 hours in an airport waiting or something somewhere, my pocket would be a lot lighter. And the fellowship was great. And you know what Coach has just been talking about, the members of the new covenant, we are a family that God expects to, and I believe Jesus prayed for unity 5 times in his prayer, John 17. He prayed that those who are his might be one as he and the Father are one. Now, and Sherry and her precious family, they were just a demonstration of how that covenant's supposed to work. And I really appreciate your putting up with me, Sherry.
You're welcome, Larry.
So, you are God's chosen people. You are a holy nation. Folks, listen, it's about the blood. It's a blood covenant. It's not a physical earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom ratified by perfect blood, a new covenant in Christ. Lord, help us get that revelation and understanding of who we are in Christ. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.